The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis. And today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Cece Luong. She aims to help others build wealth, health using her experience saving corporations such as JP Morgan, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and Ernst & Young millions and millions of dollars. And her candid experience as a minority immigrant business owner drives her to help others navigate the financial world. For decades, Cece has been offering her wisdom and insight into the world of finance and entrepreneurship to students and companies worldwide. Cece, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Luneet. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you on board. I love hearing stories of the American dream coming in from a third world country as myself. I'm from Haiti and I came here when I was 10 and we were talking offline for a little bit. I know you moved over to Canada at the age of 16. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your journey, where you're from and how you've come into the finance world.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. People usually just make a lot of assumptions when we first met someone, right? So people don't really know about my background. And so, yeah, I was born and raised in Hong Kong in the 80s. So back at the time, so Hong Kong was not part of China. It was a colony under British governance. And so we're westernized, but still we as Asians, we grew up with very strong Asian cultures, values, and expectations. So my dad was a teacher and my mom was a nurse. And so we're very disciplined. And our schedule usually is jam-packed, you know, like you go to school and then piano lessons, swimming practice, and then homework. And then there's more of it on the weekend. So it's like, no. And then, I mean, there's good and bad in it, you know, good in the sense that it trained you to be very disciplined, but mm-hmm. bad in the ways that we were like robots. We're just like constantly moving with things. And that environment really doesn't nurture a lot of, or encourage a lot of creativity or innovations, mm-hmm. which as I grew up, I've learned how important it is to blend in that what I would call mental health part of life to my personal and professional life. Because you can't just like keep on doing things. You have to like pause and reflect and think, right?
Yeah.
So I moved to Canada when I was 16 years old. And after I graduated with a business degree and a CPA from University of Toronto, I really didn't know what I wanted to do in my life. And I knew what I should do mm-hmm. and what would parents happy. And frankly, I did not know what my life purpose was. So I was just kind of rolling with all the opportunities that came my way and focus on building skills and experience because that would make me money.
Yep.
Also travel a lot through work because seriously, didn't have any money to travel. Might as well do it through work. So I think it was really until I moved to New York City 15 years ago, I finally found my thing. So I work with a lot of big companies. You mentioned, you know, the big four, the financial institution, also serving as a consulting CFO for a lot of startups. Mm-hmm. So I feel like right now, after two decades of different work experience, I'm really at the best in my career to be able to put everything together and serve my clients using all my skills and experience. And so my company is called the Entrepreneur CFO. Mm-hmm. We are a global advisory firm that helps growing company to get ready for their next big thing. So it's very, very similar to what Dr. Lanit, you do, right? That you help mm-hmm. people set up a strong foundation in their overall well-being so that they can tackle any challenges that come their way mentally and physically, right?
Yeah.
So let's say if they want to go for an endurance event or run a marathon, they can. So, I mean, it's the same way we look at, you look at a person, wellness as a whole. We look at a business as a whole, not just one aspect, right? Because most of our clients, they come to us, they're growing and expanding. They got a lot of traction from investors and they wanted to know how they can show that they're a well-established company and healthy company, just so you can continue to grow. So it's really about like looking holistically at business, you know, people, process, technology, data, put it all together.
Mm-hmm. Well put. The discipline that you learned from your dad at a young age kind of traveled with you throughout your whole life and now has helped you to build your own business to set it up. So I love your spin on it with the entrepreneurial CEO, because a lot of small businesses need that, lack that, because the entrepreneur is wearing so many hats. And that's one of them that's always the hardest one to do. It's the numbers, it's getting the funding, it's the investment. So how do you advise clients who are looking for funding or seed money? How do you help with that process?
Yeah, I think we would always look at it from an investor perspective. Like, what do they look for? Like, what do they want out of a company? Because the investor come in, obviously, they see potential, right? Yeah. Like, obviously, you've already get to a certain point, prove that your product and services, or even sometimes they invest in people. They like the CEO, the founders, right? So then what's next? So investor really want to invest in people, invest in the company. They come in to help you kind of strategize like the whole thing, how to help you move forward. So then like usually we see from that perspective, how can we grow like from a company perspective? And usually what happened is when you think about a company, when you first start it, you have a good idea, good concept. You just want to get out there and let people know already, get some proof of concept, like, you know, track record, make money. Mm-hmm. But then you don't really think about the very foundational stuff, you know, your people, process, data, technology. So when you get to a certain point, you're kind of stuck because you're expanding, you're growing. So you can't really move forward. So I think these type of thing is a good problem to solve, but then it's almost, I mean, a lot of people don't think about it at the beginning. It's almost like as a person, you don't think about one day you're going to run a marathon, right? Like you're just going to get through, you know, trying to make money, like get through life and all that. You don't think about how all these important, like how discipline and routine can be so, like these kind of foundational stuff, so important to set you up for success in many ways going forward. So
I'm hearing a lot of habits and disciplines essentially are the habits. And so financial habits, right? So now what you're saying is we essentially want to start thinking about the company as a whole in the growth process, right? So we want to start thinking, well, how do we put an infrastructure in place at a very early stage? How do we put an automation in place, the system in place so that it can run smoothly, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, exactly. And even with like, I always think about like how someone run a business, it should be exactly how they run their life. Like, so some of these things, you know, how you think about your business, how you think about your personal life, for example, I look at my credit card statements like every day. You know, bank statement, have an idea how I'm going to make decision like for the next day, next hour, or next month, right? These type of things should be very clear in your head. But it's very funny. A lot of people, a lot of founders that we spoke to, they're almost like a little bit intimidated or confused by numbers, but they don't realize there's so many things. Like numbers really tell stories about a business individual. And there's so many opportunities, but people don't really even think about that, right? But of course, because they're focused on what they're good at. So that's why they usually rely on their CFO or finance executive. But we started to say, you know, if you're the founders, if you're the owner of this business, you have to own it. You have to be able to tell your story through numbers. And that's kind of part of what we do. You know, we train and coach these very high achieve entrepreneurs to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's key. Investors want to see those numbers. You know, they want to see the qualitative numbers. How are you making a difference, and how you're managing the amount that you have to work with before they kind of put more in the bucket, right? They need to know that they not only are going to get a return on their investment, but you're going to manage it properly.
Yeah, I was watching Shark Tank the other day. Like that, you hear all the sharks constantly mentioned. Like, I think it backs to the idea: if you don't know your number, you don't know your business, you don't know your life. And people usually is like, yeah, whatever, right? We're okay. But yeah, of course you're okay. But it's almost like missed opportunities. You don't know what you don't know, right?
Right. Yeah. Mr. Wonderful preaches that a lot. He's like, I'm a numbers guy. Tell me the numbers. What are your projected sales? And So it's interesting.
Yeah. No, I was going to say he turned down someone like many times, actually. It's like, yeah, I don't think you're clear on your numbers. Like that, for that reason, I'm out or something, right?
So you're solving a big problem because companies are going to eventually grow and they don't, like you said, don't like those numbers. They're very uncomfortable when it comes to doing the books and getting an accountant because that stuff, it gets tricky. It gets tricky too once you have an entity that you have to account for. So I want you to share with us, how is it an art and a science, especially for small businesses?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what I have been talking about earlier, right? Like kind of most people, they just have this misconception about whenever people talk about numbers, like taxes, instantly they feel so intimidated or like just confused, right? Just refuse to look at this thing that they're not familiar. But when you think about it, we are familiar with numbers. Start with how we open our eyes, wake up in the morning, you look at your clock, and then you look at your apps, how much you have slept, right? And how much you're going to drink, how many conversations you're going to have that day, right? Everything is numbers. It's how you plan your day, how you measure, you know, how you're going to make decisions. So I think in order to paint a picture, that's why I said that you need to bring into the qualitative components to it, which is kind of like when you look at someone's life, right? Like when you look at someone's life, you don't measure their success by how much money in their bank. You kind of look at other aspects as well, like how about their relationships with other people, how they spend their extra time to help other people, like how they care for themselves. It's like everything all together. So numbers, yeah, tell you a lot, but also other aspects as well.
Yeah, I like that you brought that up because we think as small businesses, I'm a small business owner as well, that when you're approaching investors, it's all about the pitch. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the growth and projections. But I hear a lot of investors say, you know, we're investing in people. Mm-hmm. We're investing in you. And so what qualities do you bring to the table? What is your story? You know, how important is this to you? Because they're not just investing in ideas. They're not just investing in the invention, but the person behind the invention. And that threw me off guard a little bit, you know, at first, because you would think you just want to know how well the company has done so far and how well it's going to do. Mm-hmm. But that piece of it, if you can elaborate a little bit of it, like the essence of that, like how come that is so crucial? And how can somebody who is looking to get funding, get investors, capitalize on that? Like, how do you sell yourself?
Yeah. You mean like for the numbers, like why do people usually look at like numbers first and then before other things? Or
no. So what I'm saying is investors are saying we're investing in you. We're investing in people. And so they do care about the numbers. But when it comes down to making a decision, they are taking in consideration the CEOs, the people, the founder behind the idea, behind the invention.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just like, so I mentor a lot of young professionals. And I think it's kind of like when you look at many people graduate out of school, they look the same to you, right? Like they're all Ivy League school or like all from like, you know, college or whatever, right? Same for from an investor perspective. You look at a lot of business. Yeah, of course, they're making money. So how do you differentiate which one to invest? Because you want someone who, of course, they can sell, of course, they can do the job, but you want someone to be able to be adaptive, be resilient. When problems happen, when issues come up, they're able to navigate the different aspects. And they also have the mental and physical capacity to deal with this problem. Because let's say if you're constantly like lacking sleep, right, then you can't think clearly in these type of chaotic situation.
I see.
But you can't, like in a short pitch, people won't be able to know that, like won't know that. you know, it really through kind of what you have done, like how kind of how you think through a problem, how you approach a problem, then they get a sense of who you are as a person. And that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to tell your story, because out of that, if you've overcome triumph and victorious, so that actually makes it sound less intimidating. To be honest, Cece, it does, because it's just a matter of saying, you know, who you are, where have you come from, what have you gotten through, and why did you started this? You know, why is this so dear to your heart? Essentially, it's kind of putting the person first, because people relate to other people, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think you and I would probably be able to relate to that immigrant mindset that people often talk about, and what makes immigrants so strong and tough because of what they had to go through. Like when you move across the country and to have to adapt to everything new, culture, language, people, oh my God, it's huge. I mean, we don't think about that often, but when you think about how kind of where you began and where you are now, oh my God, that's something. It's a big leap, right?
It builds resilience for sure. Resiliency is developed in that process. And for me, I've had to learn a lot from the other successful people. Like I relied a lot on habits and rituals and discipline, right? Because like your parents taught you discipline early on. And so you can survive in a whole different culture, a whole different country. Mm-hmm. And the discipline, I account for all my success, because once you get on that automation process, success is a byproduct, because you're practicing, you're doing the right things, putting the right things in place, the right disciplines. And that account, that's the same for our finances as well. You know, constantly checking your bank statement on a daily basis and checking your bank account, seeing how much you have. And I love that you said it derives your next decision, because you're not, oh, well, I can't make this purchase, okay, because I I will go over my daily spending amount. And those actually accrue over time. Mm-hmm. And it's the same when you get funding, when you get grants, like you'll kind of disperse it across. Are you going to use it for marketing, and how much of it you're going to allocate to this bucket for this type of fund? And so those disciplines, they're important in the success of the company growth, but also discipline and habits is successful. It helps individuals be successful as well. And so, I'm glad you brought that up. So I wanted to ask you about your rituals, your disciplines, your habits. Like, how do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Yeah. So usually before I go to sleep, I started thinking about what I want to achieve in the next day already, like what my next day going to look like. And then I kind of sleep with that. So I woke up usually magically, because just kind of I have a clear idea kind of what I want to achieve. And I think when I first started my business, I made a mistake of just like kind of let it roll and just run with like a million ideas. And at the end of the day, I felt very unfulfilled because I felt like I didn't achieve anything. So right now, every day at the beginning of the day, I want to make sure I achieve three things. Like three things is doable, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, then I feel like, okay, yeah, I have accomplish or something. Otherwise, I feel like, oh my God, there's like still 100 things on my to-do list, right? So that's the first thing, is make sure I want, like, what three things I want to achieve that day. And I think you mentioned a lot with some of your guests too. Water, oh my God, water, hydrate, certain. Yeah. And I don't want to forget about it. I almost have a have an app to remind me to drink water, because it's so crazy, right? Like you hear this idea. I used to don't want to drink water because I don't want to go to the bathroom. It's kind of weird and funny, but I know a lot of people actually do that.
Yeah, same here.
So now I make sure I drink water, and sometimes I add a little bit like of apple cider because it's healthy. And the other thing I want to make sure that I check the weather a lot. I make sure, especially now in this environment, when there is a sun, when there's on a sunny day, there's sun, I go out, because I wanted to make sure, you know, I go out and take in some sun. Like I know, like back in the days, you know, before COVID, we don't think about it. Like what I want is really just go to work and go back home and that's it, right? But now it's like, no. When there's sun, I want to go out there, take a walk and take some time to just pause and breathe and think and reflect. So important. You came back like more refreshed.
Yeah.
Kind of what I do.
Yeah. That it's crucial, that time spent in the morning, even just quiet time too. Meditate, as you put it, to reflect. That stuff is important, because we're we're constantly doing. We're constantly on the go, and we're forgetting the most crucial thing is we're human beings. We need to just be. And you getting out in the sunlight is just being there, being present, and just kind of taking on that energy that you need. But even if it's 5-10 minutes, it makes a world of a difference. The way that dynamic of the day turns out, mm-hmm. it's not so chaotic, it's not so stressful. And the stress is really mental, right? Because if you have racing thoughts, you know, and you can't control those. And then that transfers into your activities and your relationship with other people. And it's just a spiral of downward mm-hmm. effect. And it's only because if you spent 5-10 minutes in the morning of quiet time or meditation.
Yeah, no, that's why I really like all the stuff that you teach about the mental health aspect, right? Because so often, even as an entrepreneur, we always feel, or even like young professional, you feel like you constantly have to have very strong technical skills, like know-how and all that stuff. But no, you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Care of other people or your business.
That's how you become more powerful. It's almost like that inner strength comes from within. It's almost like what you are experiencing, because we create our world, right, Cece? We create our world and we create our reality, but it all starts from up here. And so if you're tranquil and peaceful up here, then your surrounding will be just that. And if you are a mess and you are flighty and you can't manage yourself, you can't manage other people.
Yeah.
And so that's the first leadership piece of it, is managing oneself. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy.
And this discipline routine thing is so crucial. But then I think we don't talk about it. Well, I mean, in my culture, we don't talk about it because we just do it. And then later on, when you grew up, it's just become part of us. That's mm-hmm. that's just how people should be, right? But then I don't think it is a lot of, you know, a lot of people still trying to build that. But if we could let it become part of you, then it's just everything becomes so intuitive, you know?
Early on, then that's what we are. We teach here at Best Morning Routine, is to actually establish that discipline early as possible. It's great when I have kids. I know they're going to be meditating and reading in the morning. They're going to be going for walks and working out, because yep. once that's instilled, it makes life a lot easier. And you're right; it's something that we kind of learn. And in our 60s, we're like, "Oh, that's what peace feels like." That's what a quiet morning feels like, instead of being, as the young entrepreneurs that we are, always constantly on the go. And that's why I teach the my clients, and they're younger, of course, they're the young entrepreneurs themselves. But I teach them, your business is going to thrive as depending on how your growth is going.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how strong you are mentally, that will, your business will reflect that.
Yeah. And I keep, like, I feel like there's so many like life essential skills that should be taught at school. And wasn't, right?
Like meditation and quiet down and deep breathing. Yes.
Yeah. Like set goals and like a bunch of stuff. And then people just come out and then they learn the lessons. Then they get back into it, right? Which should be set as like, yeah, not even at school when they were young. Like maybe, I think some countries actually start doing that in kindergarten.
They are.
Right? Mm-hmm.
They are starting. There's definitely a shift in the teaching, the education system, for more intuitiveness, more mindfulness. That's starting to happen more. Quiet time is starting to take effect. I think that's a great way to go. Now, are you teaching? Do you teach right now?
Yeah, I teach and coach young professionals. So we have two brands. Like one is for my book. So my book is called Dear Accountant, Stories, yes. Advice, and Explorations. So focus on showing young professionals kind of navigate their career path and journey. So under that, we coach young professionals kind of how to, again, back to the same point, you know, besides technical skills, what are all the other life essential skills for you to succeed in your career? And then at the same time, like for our company, for our corporate brand, the Entrepreneur CFO, we help the controller CFO, you know, people already in corporate for a while, the same thing, but build different skills for them to continue to be able to kind of tackle all the like many challenges that they come across.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some, before I let you go, give us some other skill set that you put in your book, maybe two of them that are essential to be successful that are not technical skills.
Yeah. One of the biggest one is emotional intelligence. Kind of know what you think, kind of know who you are, why you feel a certain ways, because a lot of things are personal, right?
Yeah.
We kind of just make it bigger than it seems. So, but if you have a clear idea kind of why you feel a certain way, you'll be able to see things more clearly. So emotional mm-hmm. intelligence, definitely one of the biggest one. The other one is communication skills. Mm-hmm. Like how we talk to people, how we communicate with people, how we perceive. Because sometimes yeah. we're aware of like our body language and all that different things, but everything shows, right?
Yeah.
A person is perceived by other people. So super important, because sometimes people are like, oh, that's just the way I am. Yeah, okay, yeah, it is. But how, like, that's how other people perceive you. So that's yeah. very important. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up. But yeah, people say that's how I am. That's how I've always been. And I like to follow up. How's that working out for you? Right? Do you have everything you want? Do you have everything you dream of? How are people receiving you? Because we don't focus on that enough. And the language piece, the verbal, nonverbal cues, all that is very crucial mm-hmm. in being successful. And I love the piece on emotional intelligence. EQ is what it's called. Yeah. And people are oblivious to it, but it's important. It's important to know how to regulate your own emotions, but actually be aware of other people's emotions and feelings and kind of adjust through giving back to you. In terms yeah. of communication, yeah.
These skills are really essential to leaders, right? Because like back to communication skills, you have a great point, but how do you make people kind of see and share your vision, right? Mm-hmm. You can just like say it and assume, oh yeah, that's just how I communicate, and then expect other people to receive or to accept that vision, right? So you kind of have to kind of know how to communicate that to just so other people were like, oh yeah, like I get it. You know, I want to follow you, right? And same for like emotional intelligence. A lot of times we look at these bosses with big personality, leaders with big personalities, or young professionals like acting out. Like I can speak for myself too. Like
yeah.
now I'm just like struggle so much as just act out, right? But no, because we were secretly struggling. We didn't understand why we feel the way we feel, and just, you know? So I think that's yep. so important.
Yeah. And in being charismatic and when to know when to be quiet, we know when to listen. We like to say like Hitler was, he was charismatic. He was that the type of leader that he was, but he got people to follow him. He got people to buy in mm-hmm. and did what he did. So did Michael MLK, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King. Again, charismatic. You got to be able to transfer the information, the message to get buy-in. And that's crucial. And it comes back to the investment piece of it, the accounting piece of it, right? You got to be able to convey your message so powerfully mm-hmm. that investors see the potential, not in jump on board with you, jump ship with you, you know, gotta, that's important. That's where emotional intelligence comes in. If we want to tie it back around, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's communication. And then we talked about, like, we talk about storytelling these days a lot. And it's so important, because how do you connect with people? Like, it's before, like back in my days, you know, when I was working in corporate, people just like, you know, go through these metrics and then you sit there like I was bored. Like this means nothing to me, right? It's just numbers. Like I can connect. But if you tell a story, tell kind of what's going on in the industry, like your competitor, the world, it all connects. It's so much more interesting to hear a story, right? It's the same thing when you go pitch to the investors or tell other people about your business. Oh my God, the storytelling aspect, how you communicate it, so important. Makes it so more interesting for people also, right?
Yeah, we resonate with it better. It's like telling our kids stories. They love stories, right? We love stories growing up. In the old days, that's how we communicated, was through stories. And it's more powerful that way. I agree with you 100%, Cece. A lot more powerful. I'm so glad we had this this talk and it ended up with communication and EQ. Right? So I want to tell people about your book and where they can find it. So tell us a little bit about your accounting book and also where we can find it. How do we connect with you?
Yeah. So my book is called Dear Accountant, Stories, Advice, and Exploration. So I feel like, you know, I've been in the field for 2 decades, mentor a lot of young professionals. Like, so a lot of them really don't get an idea kind of where their skills and experience can take them. And also I feel like, you know, accountants really do amazing work, but they rarely get the spotlight. So that's why I wanted to write this book, to give not just accountants, but really young professionals or people who deal with accountants to get a better sense of an appreciation of what we do. And so I'm active on LinkedIn. So, and my personal website is ceceleung.com. So ceceleung.com. And within that, there's information about coaching, my book, and then my business. So that's where to find me.
Excellent. Yeah. All that is going to be on the show notes. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us today the communication piece, how valuable it is, and also how to tell the story to get investors on board. And, yeah. and that's going to be the you got to pull at their heart, tug at their heart. The numbers are great, but use the numbers to tell stories.
Yeah. This is so much fun.
Yeah, I had a blast. It was great talking to you. I thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.